Welcome back into the buzzer beater this morning. AM 1340 KXEO. Matt Pilger here, Michael Doherty. Big thanks to Kendra Murphy and the community, our six softball seniors, making it in this morning on their way into practice. I think they're going to have a pretty good season.
Yeah, I think they're headed in the right direction. And those girls were fun. They were laughing from the get-go. I mean, we heard them like 15 minutes early out in the lobby. They were just enjoying themselves. And it's, you know what, when you've got a team bond like that, it makes things a lot easier around the horn. So we'll see how they do, but excited about that. That's good stuff.
Absolutely. One thing, too, that we're kind of getting excited about is Mizzou football is going to get kicked off this upcoming Thursday, yeah. As a matter of fact. And it's hard to believe that the season is here, but big expectations on the table for Mizzou football and Eli Drinkwitz.
Absolutely. They've got through the camp, preseason camp, fairly healthy. I mean, you lose a big pass rusher in Darius Smith. You hate to see that because he was expected to have a very good year. But for the most part, otherwise everybody else is healthy, and you go into Murray State, a 47.5-point favorite. I think you got to like where you're at as far as that's concerned. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things to like. I know Eli is wanting a sellout. He kind of mentioned earlier in the season, and some people have kind of given him some pushback on, you know, do you really need to ask for that when there are less than 700 tickets sold? But he wants a sellout. He wants to say, we sold out the first game. And he want, you know what, when you're doing it against a Murray State, that's a pretty good statement if you can say we sold out a game when we played Murray State the first game of the year on a Thursday before a holiday. There's just a lot of things there that are kind of working against him. He wants to set the record straight and get a sellout. We'll see if he does or not. They're close.
I think that they'll probably get the sellout.
Yeah.
You know, college students kind of wait till the last minute to go and do those kind of things. But, yeah, I mean, you're on national TV. You want to set the tone right off the bat at the beginning of the season. And I like that the Eli's out there pushing for that sellout. It's a new brand of Mizzou football. We're on top. We're not the underdogs anymore.
Right. And the other part of that is, you know, he wants to go sell that to more recruits because he's done very well in recruiting, but he doesn't want it to stop here. He doesn't want the momentum to stop. He's going to lose a big chunk of players from this year's team. So he's got a lot of recruiting to do, and he wants to be able to say, hey, we sell out all our games. Come to the Zoo. Watch, you know, it's a fun atmosphere. You're going to really enjoy it here. And obviously, you know, he's going to push for every game to be a sellout. I don't blame him. I would, too, if I were the coach. And, you know, he's got the chance. I know most of those games are just, you know, several hundred tickets left for almost every contest. So sell them out. Let's be part of the fun.
Sure would be nice to get into that, you know, national championship picture. And we'll wish the best of luck to Mizzou football. Of course,
absolutely.
High school football is going to be getting kicked off this Friday. We are going to be broadcasting some games on both the FM and the AM station. Right off the bat, it's going to be Mexico and Centralia. I've read the Pigskin Preview magazine. They put Centralia at 8-2 this season.
Yeah.
Centralia is kind of changing how they play offense this season. We talked to Coach Haig last week a little bit about that. You know, Centralia, they usually have a good football team on the field. Mexico has better numbers this year. I'm interested to see how the Bulldogs match up with the Panthers.
Yeah, I think Mexico was picked 4-5, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be an interesting early season test. It'll be on both stations. You're going to hear Mexico Centralia, you and I, on the AM. You'll hear Nick Thomas doing Centralia Mexico on the FM. And I say interesting because of the dynamics you talked about. Centralia moving away from a passing quarterback. And Mexico, they've got some better numbers. I know Coach Haig is excited about this team. You know, how well do they match up? How well can they stop the run, which they haven't? You've seen run out of Centralia. It's been 4 or 5 years since they've kind of had to lean on the run, but they're going to go back to that. I mean, it's not anything you're not going to be prepared for. So we'll see how well the Dogs can do against the Centralia Panthers.
Yeah, there's going to be some other big-time matchups in Week 1. I found it very, very interesting that the Callaway Bowl is going to be played in Week 1. North Callaway opening up with South Callaway at South Callaway. You usually get that in third, fourth week, but here we go right off the bat. A lot of excitement there.
Yeah, if you're a North Cal or a South Cal fan, you've got to be excited about this. You're always excited about this game. It's Fulton, Mexico. for those two ball clubs. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. I'm not sure. Honestly, I haven't seen the predictions for both these teams. I think North Callaway could be pretty decent. South Callaway's kind of in that same slot, so we'll see how they match up in week one.
Yeah, we're going to break all of this down next week on the Buzzer Beater. We will give you scores. We'll kind of tell you how things went around all of the area high schools, and we're definitely looking forward to that. We are in the heat of baseball season here. We're getting ready to go into the final month before the playoffs start in September. Cardinals had a horrific start to August, let's just face it, and we didn't know after last weekend, well, they could have been out of contention really this week. They played some good teams in the Dodgers and the Brewers. They ended up going 3-3 on that homestand, and they put together a nice four-game win streak at this point. I don't know if Nolan Arenado's walk-off grand slam on Wednesday kind of sparked some things for them, but they're back in the conversation again.
Yeah, three in a row. You got to like it. Arenado's, Wednesday night thriller. You get Luke and Baker to hit a, come up and hit a home run. You know, the interesting thing to me, and we talked about this the other day on the FM, is that, if you'll remember back to when the Cardinals went on a run before, it was when Paul Goldschmidt was hurt and was playing sparingly. The Cardinals went on a run. If you've noticed, Paul Goldschmidt hasn't played a whole lot in the last three or four games. Again, playing sparingly, and it's not because he's hurt that we know of. Now, if it is an injury, it's one of those that they're not going to tell us about until the end of the year, but Luke and Baker's been called up. He's getting some DH. Nolan Gorman going down. Jose Fermin coming up. They've got some issues that they're going to have to figure out very quickly, though. And we'll talk about those coming up in a minute. But I like the nucleus of this young ball club, the younger version of the ball club.
Mason Wynn.
You've got
Lars Nootbaar still contributing.
Yeah, Victor Scott. Lars needs to pick it up just a little bit. He's fallen off a little bit in August, but Victor Scott coming up and went 3-for-3 yesterday, or 3-for-4 ended up. There are some pieces here, and obviously the Cardinal management has got to figure out who, what, when, where, why, and how, and all that kind of stuff. Because the question marks that I spoke of a minute ago, you've got Steven Matz coming off the injury list later next week. You've got Lance Lynn coming off the injury list later next week. You've got Michael Ciani coming off the injury list probably later next week. Now, you do get two extra players in September. They've changed the call-up situation. So when you look at that, you see probably one player going down. The question, I guess, is who's that player? I mean, would you release Paul Goldschmidt at this point?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he's,
so you're saying no? Is that a
solid 100%?
I was just asking.
You've been pushing for that for a little.
No, I don't think you release him. I don't think you re-sign him. No, I mean, hopefully he says I'm done and retires as a Cardinal. That would be ideal, but.
This year, he's going to retire, you think? That's what he should do? Is that your opinion?
Yes.
Gosh, I'm not ready to make that.
I saw some interesting stats. From September of his MVP season in 22 to now, he's hitting like 230 over 1,100 bats. That's two-plus seasons. That's a pretty good sign. When you do it for a season, it's one thing. When you're that struggling that much for two full seasons,
he just needs a little rest. It's in the middle of the season.
Over the winter?
Just getting out of bed in the morning anymore. My gosh. I mean, give the guy a break here.
But, so you're saying you're an apologist. I get it.
Somebody I won't apologize for is Andre Pallante. He has definitely solidified a spot.
Well, and that's the other question. Do you go to a six-man rotation now with Lynn and Matt's both coming back? I mean, Matt's probably goes to the bullpen.
I don't know. I would replace Lynn with Pallante. Honestly, Lynn has not impressed me a whole lot this season.
Well, if you bring Lynn and Matt both back and put them in the bullpen, who's leaving out of the bullpen? Like I said, it's I don't know. I don't know where you go, but Pallante, now two in a row where he's gone seven innings, and
two quality starts in a row.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to say he started nine games since he's come back up, and two of them have been stinkers. But the other seven have been solid five-inning outings.
Good percentages for Mr. Pallante.
Yeah, yeah, you like it. I'm going to talk about one other thing real quickly. St. Louis has got a pitcher in the minors that they're excited about already. He is steamrolling through the minors. Left-handed pitcher Chase Matthews. He was the, if I remember, the pitcher of the year in the minor leagues last year down in single A. He's been in double A. He went to high A, and then he went to double A, and he is chewing up batters there. I don't think he's coming up anytime this year, but he's certainly someone to look forward to for next year, a left-handed starter. And suddenly you start looking at this rotation, and, you know, earlier in the season we were wondering who in the world you got that's going to be in this rotation for next year. And, you know, you've got Fede now. You've got Sonny Gray now. You've got Andre Pallante, maybe. You've got the left-handed pitcher, Chase Matthews, and then you can do whatever you want to do. And you've got Steven Matz back for another year. And then you've got Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, who are both optionable that you could re-sign on an option. So some options are available for these Cardinals next season as far as starting pitching is going. Let's
hope we're not talking about next season sooner than later,
right,
if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan. A lot of Royals fans getting excited, and for a very, very good reason. They are red hot. They're playing quality teams, and I'll tell you what, Cleveland, don't look behind your shoulder too closely because the Royals are right there, one game out of the division lead right now.
And I'll tell you what, that American League Central is packed. You got Cleveland, you got Minnesota, and you got the Royals. Three of the top teams in the entire league all right there shuffling at each other. And it's going to be an interesting finish to see who ends up getting that division crown. But whoever doesn't is still in pretty good shape for that wild card spot. I think, I didn't check this morning to see what everybody else had done. I think they're at least 2.5, if not 3.5 games ahead of everybody as far as the final wild card spot. So they're in good shape, and we're kind of...
Royals hit the they're at 72-56, and they are one game back of the Baltimore Orioles in the first wild card spot.
Yeah, so they're only a game. They're in the second now, you know, if you look at this Royals team, they're getting some things from players that you're, I mean, let's talk about Salvi Perez. I mean, the guy looks like he's 50, but he comes to bat and gets solid at bats. Had a big. A big home run last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, went into the fountain, splashed over there, 434 feet, as a matter of fact, was StarCast had it projected at.
And if the MVP of the American League is not named Bobby Witt, I don't know who it is.
It's a travesty if he's not.
I'll tell you what, he just does it all. I mean, he's a great shortstop. Matter of fact, it was really interesting. They played Cincinnati this past week, and talk about two of the more dynamic shortstops in all of Major League Baseball, Bobby Witt and Elly De La Cruz, matching up with each other. But, you know, I think he's the MVP of the American League.
I don't see how you can't vote him in as MVP of the American League with the numbers that he's been putting in, and it will be interesting to see what the Royals do once they make the playoffs. I'm going to kind of make that prediction that they are going to make the playoffs, and I think that's a team you don't want to face whenever you get in there, because
I agree.
They've got the momentum behind them.
I agree, and they've got good enough starting pitching at the top end where they could be a handful of trouble for a number of teams.
No doubt about it. We will go through and give our athlete shout-out of the week. We want to mention Dante Klein this morning. Dante's been in the studio before and interviewed. I talked to his mom a little bit through text message this morning, and Dante's hurting a little bit right now. Got injured on Thursday. It's a knee injury. We don't know the severity of it, but you know, we want to wish Dante a very, very speedy recovery. I know he's going to be a big part of this Bulldogs team this upcoming year. He's a senior, and you hate to see those injuries get in the way, but we are putting a good thought out for Dante Klein and the family, and hopefully he gets back on that field very, very soon.
Yeah, hopefully it's not as serious as thoughts are And the good news is I guess they did a scan. It came back negative, the initial scan, but there's still some concerns there. So we'll wish him the best, and hopefully we'll see him next Friday night.
Yeah, our fingers are going to be crossed. Mexico softball jamboree going on. Maddie Tolbert's not here this morning. She's out playing.
Sullivan, Missouri.
Yes, that's a long trip from Mexmo.
But she did not give us a report unless she's on my Facebook, because she said, I'll give you a report, and she's obviously slept in this morning.
I haven't asked her for it yet. I thought they would be sleeping on the way over to Sullivan, but I'm going to try and get that report for us, and hopefully she'll be back next week as well.
Right.
We will be back next week, and we'll be talking about the start of the high school football season. Hope everybody has a great sports weekend. Hope your teams win. And that's been another edition of the Buzzer Beater this morning. For Michael Doherty, I'm Matt Pilger, and you've been listening to Sports Talk on AM 1340 KXEO.